Welcome to this edition of Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson.
If the devil can't stop you serving Jesus through persecution or corruption meaning getting us tangled up in sin, then he will try to get us distracted from our calling. And since that is the case, we need to know what our calling is, and we need to make sure that we are serving in that calling.
Today on Back to Basics, Pastor Brian continues his study in the book of Acts. Join us as Pastor Brian begins his teaching on Acts, chapter 6, verses 1 through 7, in a message titled, Serving in Your Calling. Now, here's Pastor Brian.
As we pick up, let me remind you that we are looking at Acts under the theme of the Spirit, the Church, and the world. So we're looking at the advance of the gospel. That's kind of where we're putting our emphasis to some degree, looking at how the gospel began to go out from Jerusalem, and it will ultimately go out to all of the nations. And one of the things that we've seen as we're looking at this is that from the very beginning, the gospel has been met with opposition. And the only way it advances is through people pressing forward in faith and obedience. So we've seen that in the different passages that we've considered as we've come thus far in Acts. So we've also seen that there have been two strategies employed by the devil to stop the progress of the church. And those two strategies have been persecution and corruption. So today, as we look at the passage here, we actually come to a third. And even though, you know, you might not see it right on the surface, this is another attempt by the enemy, and this time not through persecution or corruption, but this time through distraction. But this is really another attempt on the part of the enemy to derail this thing, to prevent the advancement of the gospel. And as we see here, the temptation was to get the apostles preoccupied with things that they weren't really called to. And in being preoccupied with those things, they would inevitably neglect the things that they were called to. And if this could have, you know, been something that became a pattern, it would have slowed and maybe even eventually stopped the progress. And so what we need to know is that the devil, he uses the same tactics from generation to generation. So his strategy never really changes, and probably because it's so effective. So he doesn't really change his strategy much. And the kind of thing that he did then, he will do today. If he can't stop you serving Jesus through persecution or corruption meaning getting us tangled up in sin, then he will try to get us distracted from our calling. And since that is the case, we need to know what our calling is, and we need to make sure that we are serving in that calling. You know, God has a path for us. God has a lane for us to run in. And the thing that we want to do is we want to know what our lane is, and we want to make sure that we run in that lane, because that's where we're going to be most effective. That's where we're going to be most fruitful. That's where we are going to make our greatest contribution toward the advancement of God's kingdom. And so there are four things that I want us to look at in the text here. I want us to see, first of all, the problem, secondly, the solution, then I want to see the result of the solution, and then there are a couple of lessons that I want us to take away from this. But first of all, the problem. So here's a problem that arises, and we read here that there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. So the problem is there's conflict now that's developed in the congregation, and it's over a perceived discrimination. Now, you've got this description of the Hebrews and the Hellenists. So what are we talking about here? Well, first of all, know this. We're talking about, everybody we're talking about are Christians. They're believers in Jesus as the Messiah. And everyone we're talking about are also Jews. But what we have here is a cultural distinction. That's what's being made. So the Hellenists are the Jews that have really just embraced fully the Greek culture. They're still very much Jewish. They're not just, you know, ethnically Jewish, but they're religiously Jewish. But they have just identified with the Greek culture. So the Hebrews are the ones who have sort of refused to identify with the Greek culture. And there's tension between these people. Of course, the Hebrews feel that they're superior to the Hellenist because they haven't been contaminated by Greek culture. They're the purest. They've retained that purity. And the Hellenists, of course, see themselves as superior because those Hebrews are so backward. You know, they can't get with the program. I mean, why don't they come, you know, why don't they get with the times? And so this cultural tension exists within the Jewish world and has existed for a long time. But now this tension comes into the church. And so whether the discrimination was real or perceived, it was obviously it had become a problem. And so the Hellenists felt that they were being discriminated against. They felt like they were being slighted. They felt like they weren't being attended to as well as the Hebrews were. And so they came to the apostles with this complaint. And so this thing has become, as we see in the text, the thing has become a distraction to the apostles. And it's expressed here when they said, it is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. So this is something that had fallen upon them. Now, the serving of tables, the idea here is, well, it talks about the daily distribution. So with these widows, they would come and they would receive assistance, kind of social assistance from the church. So it might have been they came to receive money. It might have been they came to receive goods, you know, food, things like that to help them, to take care of them. And the apostles sort of got stuck with the task of serving these tables. So that was the problem. But the apostles recognized, wait a second, it is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. And now it wasn't because this wasn't an important thing. And that's something that I want us to understand. This was an important thing. It was a valid ministry. It was a legitimate ministry. It needed to be done. But the apostles recognized it wasn't their ministry. And this is why I'm calling the message today, serving in your calling. Because the truth of the matter is, God has a calling for our lives. And that's like I was saying earlier, that's the lane. And I want to know, you know, what is my lane? Because if I'm serving God in the calling that he's put on my life, then I'm going to be effective. I'm going to be fruitful. But if I'm just, you know, sort of haphazardly or randomly running out and just trying to do this, that, and the other thing, in the end, I'm going to be unfruitful. I could even be counterproductive. I could, you know, waste a lot of time and energy. So the apostles they understood this to be a distraction. So what is the solution? The solution is this, verse 3. They said, therefore, seek out from among you seven men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and the ministry of the word. So the solution was, find the people God has gifted and called and let them serve in that calling of taking care of the practical needs of the ministry. So what we have here probably, even though it doesn't say it so much in the text, we probably have the rise of what we call the deacon ministry. Now, later on in the New Testament, when Paul is writing to Timothy, and Paul is writing to Timothy to instruct him on just church life. I'm writing to you, Paul said, that you may know how to conduct yourself in the house of God, the church of the living God. So Paul gives Timothy all of these instructions. And one of the things that he instructs Timothy regarding is the appointing of elders and deacons. So these are the two roles that kind of stand out in the local churches. Now, we have other ministries, of course. We have apostles and prophets and evangelists, pastors and teachers and so forth. But in the local congregations, you have this recognition of the elders and the deacons. And it's probably here that the deacon ministry arises, as I said. But let me just clarify the distinction between those two things. The elders, which is a synonym for pastors, the elders are those who serve by meeting the spiritual needs of the church. So that's what the apostles are saying, right? It's not right for us to leave off the word of God and serve these tables. So what they're doing is they're identifying what their role is, what their task is as the elders of the church. It's the oversight of the people spiritually. The deacons, on the other hand, are those who serve by meeting the practical needs of the church. So the church has practical needs as well. And just as they had in those days, they had the distribution center, in a sense, that was set up, they needed people to oversee it. And so this is the solution to the problem. The solution is you are to find seven men who are qualified and gifted to do this work, and you are to appoint them over the work. But notice the qualifications. The qualifications for these men are they must, first of all, be of good reputation. Secondly, they need to be full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. And we need to understand that because the deacon role, although it's not primarily the spiritual oversight of the people, a deacon is to be a spiritual man. Or, you know, that women can serve as deacons as well. So the person who's serving in the role of a deacon is to be a spiritual person, not just a person who, well, you know, maybe they're just really good at this kind of thing, so we're going to stick them in there. There has to be the spiritual qualification, and that comes out here. And so they end up taking the advice of the apostles, and they choose these seven men that are named here. And the two that stand out to us are the first two, Stephen and Philip. Why do they stand out? Because the next two chapters are going to talk about the extended ministry of Stephen and Philip. And this is where we will see the importance of the deacons being spiritual. Because the next chapter, Stephen is going to preach the gospel to the Jewish ruling body, and he is going to give them a history lesson and call them to repentance at the end of it. And in the following chapter, Philip is going to be the evangelist who goes into Samaria with the gospel. So we see that although they were men who their primary task in the church was to take care of the practical needs, they were spiritual men who were gifted with the ministry of the gospel as well. But the brilliance in the decision that was made here is that every one of these men were either Hellenistic Jews themselves, or obviously in their family there was a sympathy toward Hellenistic culture, because every one of them have Greek names. So they're all believers. One of them is a proselyte, which means a convert. One of them is actually a Gentile who became a Jew and now is a believer in Jesus the Messiah. So what we have here now is the solution to the problem. So the solution is, let's find the right people for the right job. Let's help people get in their lane so they can run effectively and they can do the thing that God called them to do, so that others can do the thing that God called them to do. And so the result from this is, number one, the ministry to the widows was now covered. So everybody was happy. The chapter starts off on a kind of a sour note. There's this tension. There's this conflict. There's this grumbling that's going on. But now everybody's happy. The ministry to the widows is covered. Secondly, the apostles can now focus on their calling of prayer and the ministry of the word. So they can get back to the task that God has appointed to them. And then as we go on to the final verses there, verse 7, notice it says, then the word of God spread, and the number of the disciples greatly multiplied in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. So going back to what I said initially, even though on the surface we might not see it, this is an attempt by the enemy to stop the progress of the church. And based on verse 7, it seems like things were temporarily halted. But now, because they've come up with the right solution. And you know, in the scriptures, we have references to various gifts of the Spirit. And maybe you've read those list of the gifts in maybe Romans 12 or 1 Corinthians 12. If you've read the list of the gifts in 1 Corinthians 12, there's the gift that's called the word of wisdom. And the word of wisdom is a gift that God gives that brings the best possible solution to a problem. And it seems like here you have an exercising of the word of wisdom, because man, this was like the perfect answer. This was the solution to the problem. And we see that everything was resolved, peace was restored, and the advance of the gospel continued. The gospel advanced, men and women were saved, and the church grew. So what are some of the lessons that we can take away from this? Well, first of all, I want to look at the lesson to those who are called to the ministry of prayer and the word, or that spiritual oversight, as we talked about, the elders, the pastors. And John Stott, one of my favorite commentators, he said this. He said, a vital principle is illustrated in this incident, which is of urgent importance to the church today. It is that God calls all his people to ministry, that he calls different people to different ministries, and that those called to prayer and the ministry of the word must on no account allow themselves to be distracted from their priorities. So the apostles, they got it right. They said, no, this, we can't get distracted by this. Again, as I said earlier, not because it wasn't important, but because it wasn't their calling. So let's find the people that God has called to do this. So they got it right. They understood it. And this is a pertinent word to all who are pastoring churches today, especially as the senior or the lead or the teaching pastor of the church, whatever. There's different ways people like to define that today. But here's what we have to remember. Here's what I have to remember. That it is not our job to keep the church informed on the latest social and political activity in the culture, nor is it our primary calling to engage in social work or activism. Now, I'm saying this for a very specific reason. There is a huge amount of pressure being put on pastors today to do this kind of stuff. And there's always something in every season of the church's life. And, you know, from generation to generation, there's always something that's happening out there in the culture that is tempting pastors to be distracted. There's always something. And right now, there's a lot of temptation and a lot of pressure to just kind of jump into the thick of all of the stuff that's happening in the culture. And pastors being tempted, and I think falling to the temptation, getting sucked into social activism and things like that. Now again, that there's a place for that. But that's where you have to understand that you need to serve in your lane. You need to stay in your lane. For the pastor, we see what the pastor's lane is. Our call is to give ourselves entirely to prayer and the ministry of the word. Now, there are a million causes out in the world today that are legitimate. They're good. And I know pastors who are so spread between trying to engage in all of these different causes that they've left off their main calling. And that's the problem. That's wrong. And that's where we have to guard ourselves. That's where I have to guard myself. My primary calling, those who are in that position, as I'm saying, our primary calling is laid out right here very clearly, prayer and the ministry of the word, which includes preaching the gospel, teaching the Bible, and counseling people personally from the scriptures. Pastors, this is our lane, and we need to stay in our lane. Because what we're doing, as Paul reminded the Ephesians, those that serve in that capacity, they do so to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. So our options are, you know, I can forsake my primary role and go out, spread myself real thin, try to do all of this stuff, or I can focus on my primary role, equip all of you to do the thing that God has called you to do, and guess what's going to happen? A lot more stuff's going to get done. So that's one of the huge lessons that I think we take away from this here. This passage has always, I think throughout my whole ministry life, has been one of those things that just, it recalibrates you. It just sets you back. And you know, as you read it over and over again, as I've read it over the years, it's like, oh yeah, that's what we're supposed to be doing. It's just that reminder. And it's reminded me of that once again. Now, secondly, so I mentioned social work, because in a sense, that's what these men that were appointed there, that's what they were doing.
For the month of November, Back to Basics Radio is offering an inspiring resource titled Answers to Prayer by George Mueller. Have you ever wondered how you can know the will of God? Why do some prayers go seemingly unanswered? In this book, Answers to Prayer by George Mueller, you can learn the six principles to knowing the will of God and the necessary conditions for prayer that prevails. To be inspired by the prayer life of George Mueller and to develop your own prayer life, we encourage you to call us right now at 0208-466-5365. or visit us online at brianbroderson.uk to order Answers to Prayer by George Mueller. And when you give a gift to Back to Basics, we'll send you this book as our way to say thank you. We do appreciate your generous support of this ministry. We'd also like to remind you that all of our other resources are waiting for you by dialing 0-208-466-5365 or by writing us at Back to Basics Radio, P.O. Box 647, Bromley, Kent, BR14WQ. We'll continue tomorrow with more valuable insights from Pastor Brian as we study together in the book of Acts. Back to Basics is the preaching and teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.